Philippians chapter 3, Paul was sharing his heart with the church at Philippi. And he said, there are many things that used to be important to me. He said, I'm an Israelite. I'm of the tribe of Benjamin. I was a Hebrew of the Hebrew because I was a Pharisee. I knew the law and I kept the law on every single point. And I had a tremendous amount of zeal. I persecuted Christians because I thought they were going up against the right religion. They were going up against God. And all those things were very, very important to me. But he says they've all become dung. They've all become garbage. And he says, I count them all those things that used to be important to me, I count them as loss because I want to know Jesus. I want to know him. And he goes on to say, I just don't want a surface relationship. I just don't want to know of him. I just don't want to know about him. I want a relationship that goes deeper than that. Verse 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. There's too many Christians today that are satisfied with just a surface relationship with Jesus Christ. There's too many Christians today that are just satisfied with knowing of him. Too many Christians that are satisfied with knowing about him. And this morning, even though I'm going to mention seven different things, I only have one point. I only want to accomplish one thing. I want to encourage you this morning. I want to exhort you this morning to want more of Jesus. To want a deeper relationship with him than you have right now. And I know we're at various stages. We all have a different relationship with Jesus Christ. But what I want you to, when you leave here this morning, I want you to be a little bit closer. I want you to have a desire in your heart to know him a little bit more than you know him when you came in. I want you to say like Paul, I want to know him. I want to know him. Now, to accomplish that task, I want to mention seven different groups of people in the Bible that knew Jesus. Maybe with one of these seven groups of people, you can identify. And again, my hope is that you'll take another step in knowing him more. The first group that I'll mention is mentioned in John chapter 6, verses 10 through 12. There were 5,000 men, not counting women and children, in this group. And so if it was a typical Baptist church, there were probably about 15,000 people in this group that I'm going to talk about. It says in John chapter 6, and Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place. So the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, they took up 12 baskets of leftovers. Here was a large group of people that knew Jesus. They heard him teach. They heard him preach. That's why they were there, gathered on that hillside. He had been teaching, and he had been preaching. I'm sure that they saw some miracles that day. They saw maybe a lame person walk, a blind person see, a deaf person hear. And then at the end of the day, when before they were sent away, Jesus called one of his disciples, Philip. He said, Philip, we need to feed these people. They've been here for a while. I'm afraid to send them home because they live a long way. We need to feed them. Of course, Philip wondered how they were going to do it. And Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, comes up and said, Lord, there's a little boy here. He's got a little lunch. He's got five little pieces of bread and a couple fish. But what is that among so many? And Jesus, I'll put it in my words, he says, I'll show you what a little bit can be in my hands. He said, make the men sit down. And they made everybody sit down, not just the men, but the women and the children that were there. And Jesus took the bread and he took the fish. He blessed it. He broke it. He gave it to the disciples to pass out. And it was like going to Old Country Buffet. I mean, they ate as much as they wanted. They ate till they were filled. And I'm sure there were some people, like some in this auditorium who will remain nameless, ate more than they wanted. I mean, they stuffed themselves. And Jesus said, we're not going to waste anything. Take the baskets back out and let's take up all the leftovers. And what started out with five small pieces of bread and two small fish fed not only 5,000 men, but the women and the children. And they took up 12 baskets of leftovers. So here was a group of people that in a miraculous way knew Jesus. Now there's many people like them today that know Jesus in the same way. They know him through the pages of the Bible. Through the pages of this book, they've heard him teach. Through the pages of this book, they've heard him preach. Through the pages of this book, they've seen the miracles or read about the miracles that he's done. Walking on water, casting out demons, raising the dead back to life. And many are like this group of 5,000 or more that are being fed. They're being fed daily by the Word of God. And by the way, when you stay in this book, you can't help but get to know Jesus. That's what this book is about. I mean, the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, the revelation of Jesus Christ is an apt title to put on the whole book. Because the whole book, from Genesis to Revelation, is about him. Genesis to Malachi, it talks about his coming. The four Gospels talk about what he did when he was here. In Acts, through the book of Jude, it talks about how he changed people while he was here. And then the book of Revelation reminds us that he's coming again. Jesus is the living Word, as it says in the book of John. And if you spend time in this book, you will get to know him. You can't help it. But I encourage you this morning, don't just stop and be a member of that group of 5,000. Take another step and become a member of that group of 500 that's mentioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where the Bible says this, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of about 500 brethren at once." Don't be satisfied with just being a part of the 5,000. Don't be satisfied with just knowing Jesus by reading this book. That's the place where you got to start. I mean, that's the beginning. You have to start there with the Bible. But don't just be satisfied with knowing him through the pages of this book and knowing the teachings and the preachings and the miracles that he worked. Be a part of the 500 that believe in the resurrected Lord. The 500 that saw him alive after he was crucified. The 500 that saw this one that was falsely tried, beaten behind recognition. They saw him alive. They saw this one that went through to the cross, nails driven through his hands and through his feet, a spear stuck in his side. They saw him alive. This one that was wrapped in grave clothes and laid in a borrowed grave. They saw him alive. This one that for 3 days and 3 nights was laid in that tomb, guarded by Roman soldiers, that dared him to come out of that grave. And on the morning of the third day, he arose and came out of that grave and appeared to Peter and appeared to the 12 and appeared to the 500. They saw him, a resurrected Christ. All of it according to the Scriptures. In verse 1 of that same chapter of Corinthians, Paul says this. He says, this is the gospel. This is the good news. That Christ was crucified, he died, he was buried, and he resurrected. He arose. Here's a group of 500 people that saw that the Bible was true. Here's a group of 500 people that saw Jesus keep his promise. Here's a group of 500 people that saw the gospel in the flesh. I would remind every person here, we're all sinners. The Bible says in Romans 3:10, there's none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says there's a penalty for that sin, for the wages of sin is death. The Bible says that in spite of our sin, when we were sinners, God loved us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. When we were yet sinners, Christ loved us. But God committeth or proved his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't die for any sin that he committed. The Bible tells us he was perfect. He was tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. He died for our sin. He died for your preacher's sin. He died for your sin. And this morning, if you're not part of this group of 500 who believe in the resurrected Lord. See, you can't be saved unless you believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You can't. Paul says that's the gospel. He died. He was buried. But he didn't stay in the grave. He arose. And these 500 people saw a resurrected Christ. And they received him as their Savior. If you're here today and you've never been saved, you need to see Jesus on the cross. You need to see him suffering for your sins. You need to see him as Nicodemus and Joseph took him down from that cross, wrapped him in grave clothes and laid him in that grave. But my dear friend, do not stop there. 3 days later, he came out of the grave. And this morning, you need to see the resurrected Christ. You need to be part of that group of 500. And it's a bigger group today that says, I believe in a living Savior. I believe in a Savior who went to the cross, who laid in the ground, but after 3 days came out of that grave, defeating sin, defeating death, and offers to every single person eternal life. If you're not saved this morning, you can be. You just need to come to Jesus. You just need to know him, but come to know him as your Savior. The Bible says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. You may know him from the pages of this book, and that's where you got to start. Because faith, but for by grace are you saved through faith. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You got to start with this book. But don't be satisfied just to know about the one in the pages of this book. Don't be satisfied just to know about what he taught, and about what he preached, and about what he did. Don't be satisfied with that. Take the next step and see him as a resurrected Savior that offers to every single person salvation and a home in heaven. But I would encourage you, and I know many of in this room are already part of that group of 500, I would encourage you not to stop there. I would encourage you to take the next step and become part of that group that were represented by the 120 in Acts chapter 1. Where the Bible says, and when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode the disciples. There they all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of names together were about 120. Here was a smaller group. They gathered together in an upper room. For 10 days in one accord, they continued in prayer and supplication. And you know the story if you've read the Bible. Those 120 people in 10 days prayed down the power of God. I mean, and you can go back and read it there in chapter 2. It came to them like cloven tongues of fire. And it rested on each one of them. It was like a mighty wind that filled the building. And the power of God came down and filled those 120. And those 120 saw Jesus answer their prayer. They knew him more than just one who was in the pages of this book. They knew him more than just one who saved them. They knew him as a Savior and a God who keeps his eye on them every day, knows what we're going through, and listens to our prayers and answers our prayers. Listen, it's wonderful to read the Bible, and you ought to read the Bible. I encourage you often to read the Bible. You ought to stay in this book every single day. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. And that's what we've got in this book. You ought to read the Bible. And you ought to get saved. You ought to make that decision. I don't care who you are, how old you are. There's not a more important decision that you can make than to come to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. But don't stop there. No, you can know God more. You can know Christ more when you understand that He answers prayer. You pray for a child who's sick, and God answers, and you get to know Jesus a little bit more. You pray for a spouse who faces surgery, and God answers that prayer, and on the other side of that surgery, you know Jesus a little bit more. You pray for a brother or a sister, or a child or a grandparent or a parent to get saved, and God answers that prayer, and they get saved, and you get to know Jesus more. He said, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things thou knowest not. Don't be satisfied with just reading this book. Don't be satisfied with just getting saved. And then I'll say, don't be satisfied with just knowing that He answers prayer. Take another step and become part of that group who's represented by the 70 in Luke chapter 10. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two by two before His face into every city and place, whether He Himself would come. And they went out and they preached, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. Here's a smaller group, 70 people. They were commissioned by Christ. He says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go to the places where I'm going to go. I want you to go to the people that are going to see me. And I want you to tell them, I'm coming. I want you to tell them, the kingdom of God is nigh. It's wonderful to read the Bible. It's wonderful to get saved. It's wonderful to know Jesus is the one that hears and answers our prayer. But when you go and tell somebody else that He's about to come, that the kingdom of God is nigh, you get to know Him a little bit more. You see, we have the same commission as these 70 had in Luke chapter 10. Jesus said, go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He gives us the same commission that He gave those 70. He told the 70, I want you to go to all the places that I myself am going to go, and I want you to tell them I'm coming. I want you to tell them the kingdom of God is nigh. Now we have that same charge. Jesus is coming back. Amen? He is coming back. I believe that with all my heart. He hadn't gone to heaven and forsaken us. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will doubtless come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. He's coming back. And our job is to go out, not to just the country cities, not just to the big cities, not just to one country, not just to one continent, but our job is to go into all the world and give them the same message that these 70 people delivered in the day of Christ. He's coming back. He's coming back. The kingdom of God is nigh, and you need to get ready for it. And the only way you can get ready for it is to come to know Christ as your Savior. I would submit to you this morning that these 70 that went out and told people that Jesus is coming knew more of Christ than the 120. And the 120 who saw Jesus answer their prayers knew more of Him than the 500. And the 500 who saw the resurrected Lord knew more of Christ than the 5,000 that He fed. But I would hasten to say, don't be satisfied with just being a witness. Go another step and become part of the group that's represented by the 12 in Luke chapter 6, where the Bible says, and it came to pass in those days that He went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, He called unto Him His disciples, and of them He chose 12, whom He also named apostles. These 12 men that left homes, that left their professions, that left everything, as Paul talked about, and we talked about it earlier, that were dear to them. They left it all. And for 3.5 years, they lived for and they lived with Christ. They ate with him. They slept with him. They traveled with him. They had front row seats as he taught and preached and healed. And they got to know him better than any man on earth. To be part of this group that's represented by the 12, we have to be willing to do the same thing. If Jesus calls, would we leave home? If Jesus calls, would we leave our family? If Jesus calls, would we leave our profession? If Jesus calls, would we be willing to give up everything that's dear in our life? That's what it takes to be part of this group of 12. If he calls to say, everything I have is yours. It used to be important to me, but it's not anymore. But then I would encourage you not to stop there. I'd encourage you to take the next step, the final step, and be like that one of John chapter 13, where the Bible says, now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples who Jesus loved. 5,000 fed. 500 saw the resurrected Christ. 120 prayed in the upper room. 70 sent to witness. 12 chosen to be an apostle. But only one who leaned on his breast at the Last Supper. Only one who the Bible says was the disciple that Jesus loved. Only one who stood with three women at the foot of the cross, one being the mother of Christ, and the Savior looked down and said, Mom, behold your son. Son, behold your mother. That's where Paul wanted to get. He said, I just don't want to know him. I just don't want a surface relationship. I know he feeds me every day through this book. I know he saved me. And by the way, I'll just put here, you can't get saved any other way. Don't believe the lie of the devil. Don't believe the lie of the world. There's only one way to get saved, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You can't be good enough. You can't join a church. You can't be a good dad. You can't be a good mom. Those are good things. But Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. So it's wonderful to be fed from the pages of this book. It's wonderful to know you're saved. It's wonderful to know that he answers prayer. It's wonderful to be a witness. It's wonderful to be willing to give up everything that we have. But to know him like John did. So close that at the Last Supper, the last public gathering before his resurrection, he just leaned on Jesus' breast. And when we get to the point in our life where, regardless of what's going on, we lean on him, you'll know him more than you do if you're in any other step in this progression represented by this group of people. That I may know him. Would you move a step closer? If you're not saved, this morning would you admit to Christ that you're a sinner? Would you trust him? If you're a Christian, do you know that he answers prayer? Have you put him to the test? Have you gone out and told somebody about him? Are you willing to give up those things that are dear? And are you leaning on him? Take another step. Move a little bit closer. Know him a little bit more. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the examples that this book contains of people that wanted to know Jesus more. And I pray, Father, we would have that same desire. I pray that we'd want to know him more and more and more. I pray, Father, if there's somebody here this morning that doesn't know Christ as their Savior.